Amen. Good to be in church this morning. Good to be around God's people, fellowshipping and talking with one another. It's a blessing. Take your Bible here real quick this morning. I want to look at one verse before we get into what we're going to look at back there in Genesis this morning. Look at Psalm chapter 26. Psalm chapter 26. Psalm 26 and look at, or I'm sorry, Psalm 27. Apologies. Psalm 27. Verse number 4, Psalm 27, verse number 4, the Bible says here this morning, Psalm 27, verse number 4, the Bible says here, David says, he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." All right, I'll read that again. Psalm 27, verse 4. David says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." Flip over to Psalm chapter 84, verse 10. Psalm 84, verse number 10. Psalm 84, verse number 10. The Bible says here, it says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." I read those two verses here. It's come across my path, and actually a couple weeks ago, what's going on across our country as far as these after-school groups. Brethren, it's no surprise to me. It don't surprise me one bit. I'm not shocked at all. I'm not shocked at all that our public school systems after school, let me just put it that way, because a lot of them can say yay or nay to any of these types of things, but they allow their buildings to be rented out afterwards for after-school programs. But brethren, what do we expect? What do we expect? Do we expect anything different? Yeah, come on. I don't mean to go down this road here, but you struggle to try to get church members to come to all church services. Well. And so why am I surprised that there's an after school program for Satan's temple? It doesn't surprise me, brethren. It doesn't surprise me one bit. And I read those two verses in the Bible because it shows that even in the Old Testament saints, you had David there in Psalm chapter 27. He says, One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Listen, David was consumed with God. The question is, are we consumed with God? That's the question. And what has happened is the church is not consumed with God no more. The church is not consumed with God. I'm speaking as a church as a whole across the whole United States of America. It's not consumed with God. It's more consumed with emotions rather than the Word of God, the things of God, the truth of God. And you find in Psalm 84, the psalmist says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Brethren, how can we expect anything different, brethren? I've said this before in this church here back when I was growing up, the innocent thing of watching Casper the Friendly Ghost. There is no such thing as a friendly ghost. But you see it back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, putting in the young children's minds that ghosts can be friendly. Thus, 50 years, 40 years later, we can now have Satan's temple in our schools because he's friendly. Do you see where it goes to? We're just reaping the crop of what's been sown 50, 60, 70 years ago. This is just the apple on a tree. There's no difference. The church has lost its power. This church has lost its fervency, its desire for the things of God, for the Word of God, for prayer, for seeking after God's face. And then we shouldn't be surprised at this. Actually, to me, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. What we watch on our television sets. Brethren, how can we expect God to bless a nation that watches continually filth on the television? So I don't understand how we could be surprised by what's going on or what we let our kids or what we used to let our kids do in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, go watch movies like Poltergeist or The Exorcist. And then be surprised that in our nation today that we can have a after-school program for Satan. We've been honoring Satan as a nation for the last 50 years. So I say these things this morning not to discourage us. Actually, to me, it's an encouragement. You say, preacher, why? Because it's on my heart to put out here to Ray Street Baptist Church that if God would lay on somebody's heart to try to get in and maybe run a school program afterwards for the Bible. See, a pastor can't do it all. But would it be on your heart to try to get into Saucon Valley School District afterwards and run an after-school Bible program for those kids that we really do care about? Or do we really care about them? Or is it just a headline that we can get upset at? And again, please, I know some people have brought me the headlines. I'm not saying this to you this morning, so please don't take it the wrong way. I've seen this going on. This has been in the news now for like the last 4 weeks. It's come across my past like 4 weeks ago. So I'm not saying to anybody in here that's giving me anything, I'm not saying that to you this morning. So please don't take it the wrong way. Say, the preacher's jumping on me. I'm not. But what I would like to do is by the Holy Spirit of God, stir a fire underneath you to see what you can do in your community. What can you do in your community? Maybe God will put it on your heart to try to start a nursing home ministry. Well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. You could just go from room to room in a nursing home and try to talk to somebody. Try to get into a school district, try to get into a jail, try to get into a prison, try to get into something. Lord, what can I do? Can you mail out flyers? Can you mail out tracts? What can I do, Lord, for your glory and your honor? To try to stem the tide. Brethren, if you've got a generation that's coming up now, 5 years old, learning about Satan in school, what's that generation going to be in 10, 15 years from now if they're worshiping Satan at 5 years old in a school? What's that individual going to be when they're a teenager? I say these things, it's more not to discourage us, but to hopefully encourage us to find out, are we doing everything that God would let us do in our lives? But again, if we sit on the sidelines and we're more concerned about things in our own life, and I understand there's times for things in our life, I get that. You got to work, you got to provide for your family. I get those things. But I'm talking past that. Lord, is there something else that I can do to help promote your gospel, your name, and your word to help try to stem the flood that's coming in? We're not going to be able to stop it, but try to stem the little areas in our life. What are you doing in your life to try to stem that flood that's coming in? You say, preacher, I can't get out. Well, can you pray? Can you pray for those that do get out? Those that do go on the street corners? That try to witness to people that are taking a notice at what's going on here and what we're trying to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray. Pray for the services. Pray that God would move. Pray that God would do things in our community for His glory and for His glory and for His honor. I say those things this morning because there is a generation out there, and the darker it gets, the brighter your light can shine. Now, I do know a lot of these kids that are going through some of these programs, some of these things trying to get jammed down their head. Some of them, will look for truth because they're not going to find it in the Satan's temple. Okay, they're not going to find a happiness. They're not going to find a peace. They're not going to find a joy. Though it's going to be put forward to them like they can find it there, they're not going to find it. That's only found in Jesus Christ. So may God help us to be busy till the day He calls us home. There's a hymn, work for the night is coming when man can work no more. So take your Bibles here, look at Genesis chapter 8. Here's another area where we've been looking at it. Last week we took a little diversion. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 21. Took a little diversion last week looking at Uzziah during all three services. Genesis chapter 8. But getting back over here to Genesis. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21. The Bible says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Now, this is the second time in the Bible that the word imagination is used. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the second time that the word heart is used. If you flip over again, just for review, back over to chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5. I know this is the first reference for imagination. But I also believe it's the first reference for the word heart. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination, the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. So the second time, or the first time we find imagination, and the first time we find the word heart, it's associated in a bad manner. It's not in a good light. That the heart of man and his imaginations is evil continually. And God destroys the earth there in a preceding or chapters here with Noah's flood. We go back over to chapter number 8. And as Noah gets off that ark, he builds an altar. And the Lord smells his savor coming up from the altar. But the Lord makes an acknowledgement again that for every imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Now, we looked at it 2 weeks ago about imagination and how imagination can mess with your heart. It can mess with your mind. And that's exactly what's been done with our young people and our young children today, brethren. Brethren, if we got young children today, they ought not to be brought up in front of a television screen. Amen. Or in front of a device, an iPad or a phone. Listen, I don't know how many little kids I've seen in the supermarket or Walmart and you're shopping and they can barely, I don't even think they can walk yet, and they got a cell phone in their hand looking at something on a screen, brethren. That is what's bringing ruination to our nation. Brethren, it's bringing ruination to our homes. Listen, most of the time you walk around, you see it. People cannot put their phones down. Constantly looking at their phone. Listen, brethren, they're addicted to their phone. And brethren, you know how you get Satan's temple in the schools? You get people addicted to their imaginations. Their imaginations run wild because, listen, the devil knows exactly what he can do. Let me get a television in front of everybody's face that they can carry in their hand. People are addicted. We're like trained monkeys. We're like trained dolphins that you get the clicker, the thing dings, and we automatically got to look at it. We've been trained by the devil. The phone controls us. We don't control the phone. I try to tell my wife sometimes, my phone will be in the office and I hear a ding for a text or something. She's like, your phone dinged. I say, yeah, I'm going to sit here a few seconds. I'm not going to go jump because my phone just dinged. Brethren, we cannot, listen, brethren, as Ray Street Baptist Church, we cannot let our phones dictate our lives. We spend, brethren, how many hours do some of you spend on your phone flicking through Facebook? If you got an iPhone, you can go on there and you can see how much time you spend on what's called entertainment. Does that equal out to the amount of time you spend in prayer? If it doesn't, maybe you should step away from the phone for a little bit. Brethren, there's an old phone downstairs in this church, and that's the way it should be. And the devil knew that you could still do damage with that thing down there, but that thing can't travel around with you. Well, it can for a few feet. I remember when people got excited when they got cordless phones and they could walk around the house and talk, brethren. That's not good. It's not good. I guess what I'm saying this morning is we wonder, preacher, how could we get to such a state that we're in as a country? It's because we don't even realize that we're being programmed. We're being programmed daily how to act, how to talk, what to do. And we, Brandon, if I could take my phone and throw it into the Lehigh River, I would. We let our phones dictate our lives, and that's where it messes with our imaginations. It puts thoughts in our hearts which dictate our imaginations. Take your Bible, look at Deuteronomy chapter 29, and look at verse number 16. Deuteronomy 29 and verse number 16. Brethren, our phones are addictive. They're addictive. Computers used to be addictive and they're still addictive. But have you ever gone, if you have a computer in your home, have you ever gone on your computer to look at something specific and then something else catches your eye and before you know it, you spent an hour or two looking at something that you didn't intend to originally to look at? Yeah. And it might not be nothing wrong. It might not be nothing evil or sinful. You just sat down. You were going to sit down. You're going to look at how to make scrambled eggs. I got to do that. You sit down. And you go, how do I make scrambled eggs? How to make toast without burning it? And before you know it, you're looking at how to hang a door. Right? Or what's the fast? Oh, you're off in somewhere that has nothing even to do with the scrambled eggs or toast anymore. And it's 2 hours gone by. Because you just clicking, and now it's right in front of your face and you're on your phone. before you know it, an hour's gone by, 2 hours gone by, 3 hours gone by, and nothing accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, I'm preaching to myself this morning. I realize, brethren, it sits there, you're like, this is addictive. It's the way, listen, look into it. That's how they designed it to be. They designed it to be addictive. To where you don't put it down, you keep it continually before you. And I say these things again, not to put you down this morning, but to pull a rug out from underneath the enemy to get us to realize what's controlling our lives. Is it the Holy Spirit of God or is it a device? Deuteronomy 29, look at Deuteronomy chapter 29 and look at verse number 18. Actually, verse 16, Deuteronomy 29, verse 16. The Lord says, for ye know how we have dwelt in the land of, or the Bible says, for ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which we passed by, and ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. And lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, and to go serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Gall and wormwood are horrible, brethren. You can taste them. You can buy wormwood. It is one of the most bitter things that you can taste. It's horrible. But you can taste it. All right? Gall is bitter. It just doesn't taste good. Now, I want to give you an example here of what the Bible's saying. When God brought the nation of Israel out from Egypt, which is a type of the world, and when God brought the nation of Israel, it is a type of a birth. We're not going to get into that this morning, but it pictures a birth as they went through the Red Sea. It pictures a birth canal. They came out on the other side, and they were made into a nation. Okay, but the Lord says as God brought them through by the hand of Moses through the Red Sea, and they came into the other side there, the Lord says, listen, as you're passing through to the promised land, don't look to your right side, don't look to your left side, don't get caught up with what's going on with the nations around you, lest you fall prey to their gods. The Lord even mentions being careful of their images. What does that remind you of? Your cell phone. Image after image after image after image and after image. Some social apps, that's all it is pictures. That's images. And listen, what occurred in the Old Testament time, we say, well, that's 4,000 years ago. That doesn't apply to us today. Yes, it applies more today than you realize it applies to today. God says, as you pass through these lands, I don't want you getting caught up with their images. I don't want you getting caught up with their gods. Why? Because as you're walking through, you got to be careful so it doesn't catch your eye and you start straying off. I wonder what that looks like. I wonder what that is. And all before you know it, you're worshiping and serving their gods. And what's worse than that is if you take their gods and then you bring it back into the children of Israel. And that's what we have happen today. We got Christians out there today. They're going out into the world. They're seeing the gods of the world and the images of the world, and they're taking them in. But the worst thing is when they bring them back into the house of God. And that's where we're at today, brethren. We're letting false gods, and we're bringing it into our life. And worse, we may not, I hope we don't bring them into the church house. But God says here, he's talking to them. Look at verse 19. Deuteronomy 29, and it came to pass when he heareth, and it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse. All right, verse number 18, I'm going to read again so we get the context. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart. Listen, God tells Moses, listen, you tell the nation of Israel, this is going to be the curse that's going to come upon you if you serve these false gods from these nations, if you serve their images, if you bring their idols into your homes. Listen, these curses are going to come upon you. And what verse 19 says is that when somebody hears this, they're going to say in their heart, I'll have peace. I'll have peace and I'll walk in the imagination of my heart. It's not going to affect me. It will affect you, my friend. It will affect you. Verse 20, the Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. God says it will come back around on you. You know why a lot of people don't have peace today? They're spending too much time with their imagination. They got anxiety. They got problems going on within the heart and within their soul. And it's got them in a fit. It's because they're spending too much time in the imagination of their heart. And it's affecting how they're walking. And they have in their head, it will not affect me. It's not going to affect me. I'm different than everybody else. I can dabble in the world and it not affect me. You're a fool. You cannot dabble in this world and it not affect you in some area of your life. You can't. It's going to affect you somewhere. It's going to affect your spiritual walk. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7. You see, the imaginations of your heart, if you don't get a hold of them, it's going to cause you to not only stop and be still, it's going to cause you to go backwards. Look at Jeremiah chapter number 7. These, to me, brethren, this is some important stuff here this morning. Jeremiah chapter 7. Your imagination can cause you to go backwards. Your imagination is never going to cause you to go forward, brethren. Most of the time, your imagination is going to cause you to go backwards. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse number 21. Jeremiah 7, and look what the Bible says in verse 21. Jeremiah 7, 21, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. What the Lord's saying here through Jeremiah in verses 21 and 22, he's telling Jeremiah to tell the people, listen, when I brought you out of Egypt, I wasn't concerned about burnt offerings. I wasn't concerned about sacrifices. Look at verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Brethren, you go off of your imaginations in your mind and in your heart, you're going to go backward. You will not go forward. Verse 25. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have sent unto them, even sent unto you all my servants and prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken unto thee. Thou shalt also call on them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Brethren, the Lord's saying, I've sent them prophets, I've sent them preachers, I sent them rising early. God said, I sent them forth since they came out of Egypt. Yet the Bible says in verse 26, yet they hearken not unto me. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't incline their ear. They hardened their neck. They did worse than their dads did. And the Lord says, this nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction, truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Why? Because they walked in the imagination of their heart. They wouldn't receive correction. When correction came, when counsel came, they said, no, I got this. I got it. And God said, I tried to get your attention. I tried to help you out. I tried to get you in a right place, in a right position, around the things of God, but you let truth perish. You see, brethren, it's a scary thing when you get truth and you choose to turn away from that truth. That's scary, brethren. That's a scary position to be in, where God brings truth across your path and you close your eyes and you close your ears and you stiffen that neck and you start going the other way. My friend, you are walking into some thick darkness. And that's exactly what the nation of Israel did. Brethren, if you read through your Bibles in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was caught up with idolatry as they were going through the Red Sea. They weren't even in the Promised Land yet. They weren't even near the Promised Land, and you had a mixed multitude among them. You know what you have in your churches sometimes? You have a mixed multitude. You got people in your church that might say the right things, act the right way, but they're a mixed multitude. You see, that mixed multitude, as they came out of Egypt, listen, they came out and they went through that water, but they didn't come through the blood. They didn't put the blood on the doorposts. But they came on out with God's people and acting like they was God's people as they came through that water and into the other side there before they came into the promised land. And the mixed multitude, guess what it did? It affected the children of Israel. It caused them to go a-lusting. And it put thoughts brethren, hear me this morning, please hear me. It put in the minds and in the imagination of their hearts, hey, do you not remember what we used to be able to do when we were in the world? Brother, you got to be careful who you hang around. You got to be careful who you spend time with, because they might just whisper things in your ears that you should not be hearing. Hey, I hear you're going to church this morning. Yeah, I'm going to church this morning. I'm trying to get right with God. I'm trying to do the right things. Man, don't you remember what we used to do on Sundays? Don't you remember the good times? Don't you remember the good times when we used to go out and we used to do this and we used to go out and party and we used to go here? Don't you remember the good times? And it gets whispered in ears, just like the mixed multitude whispered in the ears of the children of Israel. Don't you remember the garlic? Don't you remember the leeks? Don't you remember the spice that we had in Egypt? But what he doesn't remind them is, don't you remember the bondage that you also had in Egypt? You see, this world's never going to whisper in your ears, don't you remember those times where you cried on your bed because you were so unhappy? Don't you remember all these times that you weren't satisfied? Don't you remember all those times where you were just miserable in the sin that you were living in? The devil will never whisper those things in your ears. He'll always whisper in your ears the good times that you used to have. But were they really good times? Were they really good times? Brethren, imagination. Imagination. See, the devil's never going to remind you of the heartache. The devil's never going to remind you of the wreckage that it brought to your life, the misery that it brought to your life. No, it's only going to try to get you to remember the good times, or what seemed to be the good times. Brethren, help us to be. May God help us to be aware of these things. Take your Bible, look at Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah, to me, brethren, reminds me of the United States of America. If you read through it, it reminds me of the U.S. of A. and how the U.S. of A. has turned its back on God. And yet we still expect in some ways for God to honor us and God to bless us. Brethren, how can we ask God to bless our country? No, really, seriously this morning. How as sincere Christians, can we rightfully ask God to bless this nation? How? How can we with an honest heart say, Lord, please bless our country? Our country has turned its back on God. Our country wants nothing to do with God except in a country music song. I'm trying not to hit the pulpit right now. God, country, and guns. No, God. It's not God, country, and guns. It's God. It's God. But see, brethren, again, we got our good feel. You know, I got my beer in my hand, and I'm talking about Jesus. And Jeremiah chapter 18, look at verse number 11. Jeremiah 18, verse number 11. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you. Look what it says next here in verse 11. And devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. You see, God's trying to give warning, a final, last warning to the nation of Israel, particularly the tribe of Judah, the southern tribe that has yet to go apostate. Actually, it's there. God's trying to get the last group of his people, the last group of people that's left there in that nation. You see, Israel has already been taken captive. The northern kingdoms have already been taken captive by the Assyrians. And God is trying one last try here to get the nation of Judah and or the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, the two last tribes here, to get a hold of what's going on there. and they say in verse 12, they said there is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. They wouldn't listen to the warnings that God was trying to give them, and they went in what they thought rather than what God says. And they devised a device. Brethren, we got devices in our hands today. Brother, I'm telling you, our King James Bible is more up to date than you realize. This book, you tell me this book's not on point when it's talking about devising a device. What is your cell phone called? It's called a device. And Jeremiah says they're devising a device back then. You know what? We got problems today with devising a device that causes us to turn from God. Brethren, Romans chapter 1 verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Vain in imaginations equals a darkened heart. You know what you also got to be careful with on phones? Is they get you desiring things that beforehand you probably never would have desired them. You know what's bad about phones and televisions and even radio and some of those things along those lines? Not so much the radio, but things that you can see. It gets you coveting after things that before you never really realized you needed. How many people start flicking through on QVC or whatever it's called and say, I need that. You didn't need it 2 hours ago, but now all of a sudden you saw it on a television. You're like, yeah, I could use that. I need that. Or I like how their house is done, or I like how they did their, and it causes you to start going after things beforehand. You were just quite content. But now you see what everybody else has got and what everybody else is doing. You're like, I want that. I need that. I need that. And it creates a covetous attitude in our heart. And what that does, it keeps us from being thankful for the things that God has given us. Brethren, I wish I could take all of Ray Street Baptist Church. I wish I could take all of Ray Street Baptist Church down to Haiti for a week. And after that, we'll go down to Brazil and we'll visit Hannah and Robin and John down there in Brazil up into the Amazon. And then we'll take a little trip over to Oman, visit maybe some missionaries over there in that section. And then we'll take a trip over to Pakistan, spend some time with some missionaries and brethren that are in that country. And then we'll take a trip over to North Korea with some brethren that are there underground trying to serve God. And then we'll take another trip over into China to good brethren that are there trying to serve the Lord covertly because of that government. And then we'll come back to the USA and see if we would change anything. I think it'd be a good thing. I think it'd be a really good thing. I think it'd be good to go into a nation that doesn't have health care. I think it'd be a really good thing to go to a nation that has no health care at all, none, zero, zip, no health care. You break your leg, you try to find a guy that's got a white coat on, hopefully he can do something with it. Brother, I'm dead serious. Brother, I've been in some hospitals that were so nasty and dirty. Brother, I had a friend of mine, his son, he busted up his knee in a motorcycle accident down there in Dominican Republic. And I remember taking him down there in the DR, Dominican Republic, going down to a hospital in Barcelona. And in this little city here, they had an old school that they had a makeshift hospital in. Brendan, if you're going to have food in that hospital, if you had to stay in a hospital, your family had to bring you food or else you didn't eat. If you were in that hospital bed, the hospital did not provide any food. Somebody had to bring you food to the hospital. They had to bring you your own blankets and sheets because they did not provide any blankets. They didn't provide any sheets. They didn't provide any pillows. Your family had to bring that to you. And I remember praying to this brother Timothy, and he's on crutches because his knee was busted up bad. I could tell. And we're going through there. Finally, we found somebody to give us an x-ray. There was no desk. There was no information center. We found somebody to take us into the x-ray room and shoot some shots to get an x-ray of his knee. After about 20 minutes, they came out. They handed us the x-ray. So here you go. They didn't read it. Here's the x-ray. Boom. And they're gone. You know what we did for the next hour? He's hobbled around the hospital. We're trying to ask everybody that looked like they were a doctor if they could read an x-ray. Finally, we found somebody. He looks at it, puts up the light, says, looks like you're all right. Doesn't look too bad. You should be good to go, and on our way. Brother, I am not joking. I'm serious. So maybe we should think twice before we complain about our medical system here in the United States of America. Because, brethren, I knew something was wrong with Timothy's knee. It was busted up bad. I knew it was not good. Took him back up into the mountains. Darren Truel's daddy had been a missionary there for years. He was busy with something else. Finally, we got together and we said, you know what? He has got to go back to the U.S. He's got to go back to the U.S. Got him back to the United States of America. Got him over to Miami. He goes to a hospital in Miami and they're like, man, your knee is trashed. But down there in Dominican, they're so busy down there trying to do what they can do down there. So you're fine, go on your way. Brother, I had it down in Dominican, a Haitian man, brother, I'm telling you, a Haitian man had made a makeshift gun, got into a fight up in the mountains because they were drunk, and the other guy shot this guy in the stomach. And so as missionaries, we were there trying to help him. Brother Darren took him into the capital, San Domingo, down there in the Dominican side. And guess what? They wouldn't treat him because he was a Haitian. They said, get him out of the hospital. We're not gonna treat him. So Darren's there in San Domingo trying to find a place to treat this man. It's got a gunshot wound to his stomach. Finally finds a Christian organization there that's got doctors there. They see him, but there's only a little bit that they can do. They clean it up. They try to make it, and they fix it all right. And they send him home. Gunshot wound to the stomach. And I remember when I went down to the bus station to pick him up down there near Badarona, I got out of the car and Pastor Nathan, he was Haitian. Pastor Nathan was with me there and we pick him up at the bus stop. And brother, he gets off the bus stop, he's like this, and you could smell his wound. Now, I'm not saying these things this morning to get, I'm getting us, brethren, to think of where we're at in the United States of America. And I remember taking this young man over behind a dumpster there because it stank so bad. And we pulled back that gauze and he was going to the bathroom through his intestines there. And having to take wipes and water and try to clean that thing up for that man. And yet we got Christians today complaining about our healthcare system. God help us. God help us. Taking claws and trying to just clean him out, trying to where he doesn't get septic to where it goes gangrene, whatever, and kills him. Brethren, we don't even realize how far we have gone as Americans and how spoiled we've become and how unthankful we are for the things that God's given us, and that is not good, brethren. You know that list that's written, that listed there in Romans chapter 1 and in Timothy, it talks about being unthankful. Brethren, we got so much in this country to be thankful for. It would take the next 1,000 years to thank God for everything we have in this nation. You say, Lord, why isn't God moving in our nation? Why isn't there revival? Because one thing, we're not thankful. We're not thankful. We complain about everything. We're mad about everything. Brethren, let's take a little trip into Haiti and the Dominican Republic and go up to the mountains to where a mama is so happy because you gave her daughter a toothbrush and some toothpaste and their health is nothing more than tin put up together. They're sleeping on a dirt floor, but we're spoiled here in this country. Brethren, I'm telling you, a missions trip would do us good. A missions trip would do us good. Brethren, God help us, brethren. Brethren, as your preacher, as your pastor, by God's help, I try to get our mindset back to what it needs to be focused on, and that's the thing of God, the things of God. And God help us, myself included, to never have an unthankful attitude. Brethren, there is nothing to complain about in this nation. Understand what I'm saying. We've got everything we need. We got food. We got a home to go home to. We got a roof over our head. I think everybody in this room, you had heat last night. I think everybody in this room, I could be wrong, but I think everybody in this room has a shower to go take a shower. I think everybody in this room has more. I think everybody in this room, I could be wrong, and if I am, forgive me. I think everybody in this room, we have more than one pair of shoes. I think everybody in this room, we have more than one shirt, more than one dress, more than one pair of pants. I'm just saying, brethren, we got so much to be thankful for in this country. It's beyond belief. Listen, brethren, we went to the sink this morning. You went to the sink this morning, and you turned the knobs, and guess what came out? Water. You went to the side there this morning, you flicked the light switch, and guess what came on? That electric, the light bulb came on. Brethren, you have a stove that you can go to and you can make something warm and hot to eat it. You have a refrigerator to keep things cool in, to keep them from going spoil. And God forbid something happened to us, we got like 3 hospitals we can try to go to. 3 hospitals. 3 hospitals that have state-of-the-art equipment to try to keep us alive. But I wasn't seen within 8 hours. But were you seen? Brother, I don't know why I'm preaching this morning, because it ain't in my notes. But if we have an unthankful heart and an unthankful spirit, we're going nowhere with God. Nowhere. No, actually, you're going backwards. Unthankful. Unthankful. Brethren, when I used to travel around on missions trips, when I would go down there, some of the guys would make fun of me sometimes because I would just carry around a bottle. If I had a bottle, I would just carry it around and I would sip it, because, brethren, you didn't know the next time you might get something to drink. You didn't know the next time you get something to drink. You didn't, in some states, when I went over into Haiti, you didn't even know if the next place where you might try to be able to find some food that you could eat. I'm being serious on that. When I got over into Haiti one time, we got over Haiti, we passed through the border, we get into Haiti, and the guy that was taking us, he said, listen, I'm going to try to find you somewhere to eat. He took us to the nicest place he could find, and it was a rundown gas station. And I got a couple bags of little Doritos, and that was my food, because that's all they had. Brethren, I'm saying this morning, brethren, I'm not trying to put people down. What I'm trying to tell you is there's a lot that we have to be thankful for. And on our lips continually should be thanks to our God for the mercy and grace and long suffering that he shows us. And that God was so wonderful to us that he allowed us to be born in the United States of America. In my mind, the second greatest nation that ever was outside of Israel. Brethren, there is no country like the United States of America. But you know why the United States of America has got to the place? Because it became a nation that was unthankful. Unthankful. May God help us as a church that we're not unthankful, but always grateful for the manifold blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Brethren, I'm glad this morning, brethren, that I wasn't born in Afghanistan. And nothing against the people from Afghanistan. I'm glad I wasn't born in a country that's God is Allah. I'm glad I was born in a nation that at its start had a semblance of Christianity, that I could hear about Jesus Christ without the fear of being persecuted. Amen. Brethren, I say these things this morning to try to stir us. And if we've had in our heart, I don't know. I have no idea why I'm saying some of these things this morning. But if we've had in our heart an unthankfulness, an ungratefulness, a complaining or murmuring spirit of why everything is going wrong in our life, brother, maybe we should just take a step back and realize how bad it could be. Of how bad it really could be. As I close out here this morning, we could be in a concentration camp. There were saved individuals back in the 40s that had to go through a concentration camp. We could have been a Christian that was born and raised in a communist country underneath the control of the old USSR. Brethren, we could be in a country or in a times where we had no heat and we were eating tulip bulbs because the food supply was so low, or tree bark. Brethren, some of you, I'm thankful, some of you might even have had to deal with this, I'm thankful I can go to the bathroom inside. Some of your family members, your grandparents, they went to the bathroom in an outhouse. Some of your grandparents didn't even have running water, nor electricity. We got a lot to be thankful for. And you know what this does for us, brethren, when we're thankful? When we're thankful and we got a thankful spirit about us, it makes us a cheerful person. Most people that you find, brother, I'm telling you right here, most people you find that got a murmuring and complaining spirit, they got a sour spirit as well. They're just miserable to be around because this is going on here and this is going on here and this is bad here and this is happening here. You don't even want to be around them. It's like, is there anything good going on in your life? All right. The best thing we got in our life is salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. What a thing to joy over. If all of a sudden everything around us fell apart, we could still have joy and rejoice in Jesus Christ, because I'm glad. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the temple of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. God, I pray you'd help me to be more thankful, Lord. Lord, it's so easy, dear God, to get unthankful. Lord, it's so easy, dear God, to just take things for granted, like it's always going to be there. Lord, everything could change tonight, dear God. Our whole country could change tonight. Lord, tomorrow morning, we could wake up tomorrow morning and all our money means nothing because the economy just bottomed out. Lord, I pray, dear God, you'd help us. Please help Ray Street Baptist Church, dear God. Please help us all, dear God, to have a grateful heart. Help us to be thankful for our health. Lord, help us to be thankful this morning, dear God, that we can walk. God, thank you, dear God, I can walk this morning. Lord, thank you this morning, dear God, that I can see with these eyes. Lord, thank you for my voice. Thank you, Lord, that I can hear. Lord, thank you for my salvation. God, I prayed, help me not to be spoiled. God, help me to be thankful, Lord. Help this church to be thankful. So many blessings, dear God. So, Lord, I pray you dismiss us here this Sunday school hour with your blessings, Lord, as we get ready to be here in the next few minutes, dear God, for the Sunday morning service. Lord, I pray if somebody's just got a hard heart, dear God, I pray you'd soften it. Lord, I pray you'd soften it. Lord, I pray you'd help us all, dear God, to help us to focus and see all the many blessings you put upon our lap. Lord, that you would receive glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.